On the same day, the life of the holy prophet Moses, the God-seer. After the repose of Joseph in the land of Egypt, the descendants of Jacob his father multiplied so that the entire land was filled with Israelites. In the event of war, 600,000 men could be enrolled from among them. But the king of Egypt, fearing that they might at some time form an alliance with his enemies and attempt to destroy his kingdom, ordered his taskmasters to afflict the people of Israel through hard labor and beatings. By the sweat of the Israelites' efforts, renowned cities were built, not out of necessity, but for vanity's sake, and so that the race of the Jews might be utterly destroyed. Nevertheless, the more they were afflicted and tormented, the more they multiplied and grew. For it was not possible to diminish this people which God desired to increase and magnify. Although the king commanded the Egyptian midwives to destroy every Hebrew male child, the midwives, fearing God, spared them. The king then issued a decree. Throughout the land of Egypt, commanding that anyone seeing a Hebrew male child should take him and cast him into the river. In those days there lived in Egypt a man named Amram, of the tribe of Levi. His wife, Jochebed, was of the same tribe. She had already given birth to a son, Aaron, and a daughter named Miriam. And when the Hebrew children were being murdered, she bore a second male child, whose appearance was exceedingly fair. Jochebed wept for her child, for she knew of the king's ordinance that no male child of the Hebrew race was to remain alive. She hid him for 3 months, and when she could no longer conceal him, she took an ark of bulrushes and dabbed it with pitch. She then laid the child in this ark and set it afloat in the calm water by the river's edge. The infant's sister, Miriam, stood at a distance, observing what would become of him. By God's providence, the daughter of Pharaoh came down at that time with her handmaidens to wash in the river, and as she was walking along the river bank, she saw the ark floating there. She sent her maid to fetch it, and opening it, she saw the beautiful child crying in the ark. Perceiving that he was a Hebrew child, she had compassion on him. And desiring to keep him as her own son, she commanded that a nurse be found for him. Josephus, the Jewish historian, writes that many Egyptian nurses were brought for the child, but that he would not take milk at their breasts. Then Miriam came to Pharaoh's daughter, whom she served, saying, "Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that they may nurse the child for thee?" Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go, and summon a Hebrew woman." The maid went and called the child's mother, to whom Pharaoh's daughter said, "Take this child and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." The woman took the child in her arms, and at once he clung affectionately to her, as a child to his mother, and she fed him. When the child had grown somewhat, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, who loved him dearly, for the child was very handsome. She asked her father to allow her to keep the child in place of a son, and she named him Moses, saying, "Because I drew him out of the water." The ancient histories recount that once Pharaoh's daughter took Moses to her father, and in jest Pharaoh placed on his head the royal crown on which a small idol was engraved. Taking the crown from his head, the child cast it to the ground and trampled it underfoot. The king saw this, as did a pagan priest, who had been told by sorcerers that a leader was to be born to the Israelite people, who would bring many plagues upon the Egyptians. This priest advised Pharaoh to put the child to death, so that he would not attain manhood and bring harm upon their land. However, the Lord in his providence ordained that others should speak in opposition, arguing that the child acted guilelessly and out of ignorance. Wishing to test his ignorance and simplicity, they gave Moses burning coals, which he took and placed in his mouth, thus burning his tongue and leaving him with impeded speech for the rest of his life. When Moses was somewhat older, Pharaoh's daughter brought him chosen wise men of Egypt to instruct him in every field of learning. The quick-witted child soon surpassed his teachers, and he was loved by the king and all who lived in the royal palace. When Moses learned of his ancestry, he began to worship the one God who is in the heavens, the maker of all creation, whom the Hebrews worshipped, and he came to despise the godlessness of the Egyptians. We are told by historians that Moses, now a grown man, was chosen to lead the Egyptians in war against the Ethiopians, whom by his valor he defeated. However, he was not loved by Pharaoh for his bravery, but rather Pharaoh's favor turned to hatred. Certain Egyptian priests foretold by means of sorcery that Moses was to bring evils upon Egypt, and they advised Pharaoh not to allow him to remain alive. Hearing this counsel, Pharaoh considered putting Moses to death, but he hesitated, not wishing to grieve his daughter. Instead, he searched for a pretext to do away with him. One day, Moses went out to see his brethren, the children of Israel. Witnessing their burdens, he spied an Egyptian striking a Hebrew. Moses looked all around, and seeing no one, he slew the Egyptian and hid his body in the sand. Going out the next day, he saw two Hebrews arguing, and he questioned him that was in the wrong, saying, "Wherefore smitest thou thy fellow?" The man answered, "Who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killest the Egyptian?" Moses was alarmed that the murder he had committed was not hidden. Word of the slaying reached Pharaoh, who then sought to apprehend Moses and kill him. But Moses fled from Pharaoh, going to live in the land of Midian. Wearied by his flight, Moses sat down by a certain well. Now the priest of Midian, Jethro, had 7 daughters. As they were tending their father's sheep, they came to the well to draw water for their sheep, but other shepherds came and drove them away. Seeing this, Moses stood up and defended them from the shepherds, and he poured out water for their flocks to drink. The daughters of Jethro told their father of Moses, saying, "An Egyptian delivered us out of the hand of the shepherds and watered our sheep." Jethro then received Moses into his house and gave Zipporah, his daughter, to him as a wife. She bore him 2 sons, the first of whom he called Gershom, for he said, "I have been a stranger in a strange land," and the second he called Eliezer, saying, "The God of my father was mine helper and delivered me from the hand of Pharaoh." In the course of time, the king of Egypt died. The children of Israel sighed under the burdens of their slavery, and God heard their groaning and remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. Looking upon the children of Israel, God desired to deliver them. At this time, Moses was pasturing the sheep of Jethro, his father-in-law, near Horeb, the mountain of God. Here God appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. Moses looked, and to his amazement, he saw that the bush burned without being consumed, and the Lord called to him out of the midst of the bush, "Moses, Moses," and he said, "It is I, Lord." The Lord commanded, "Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground." He then said, "I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows, and am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good and spacious land, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." And Moses said to God, "Who am I, that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt?" And for a long time Moses prayed God that he not send him, for, said he, "I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue, But the Lord promised to be with him and to send Aaron with him. Moses then went to Jethro, requesting him to let him return to Egypt to visit his brethren. And Jethro said, "Go in peace." Moses went on his way, fearing nothing, for that king who sought to kill him was dead, as were all they that had sought his life. And by the command of God, Aaron the Levite went out into the wilderness to meet Moses. And when they met, they kissed each other and related to one another the words which they each had heard from God. When they arrived in Egypt, they gathered all the elders of Israel together and told them all that they had heard what they had heard from the Lord. They worked signs before all the people, and the people believed them, rejoicing that God had visited the sons of Israel and had looked upon their affliction. Moses and Aaron then went to Pharaoh and said to him, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness." Pharaoh said, "And who is the God of Israel, that I should obey him? I know not your God, neither will I let Israel go." He then commanded that the people of Israel be burdened with still more labors, and that many stripes be laid upon their backs. "For they are idols," said Pharaoh, "and therefore do say in their souls, let us go and do sacrifice unto our God." These new burdens grieved the Israelites greatly, and they cried out to Moses and Aaron, "The Lord look upon you and judge you, because ye have aroused Pharaoh's anger toward us, and have put a sword in his hand to slay us." Moses, however, strengthened by God, once again went to Pharaoh, saying, "We are sent by the God of Israel to say to you, let the people of Israel go." They began to work signs so that Pharaoh might know that Moses and Aaron were indeed sent by God. Aaron cast his rod upon the ground, and the rod became a serpent. Then Pharaoh called all the wise men and sorcerers of Egypt, and they, with their enchantments, did what Aaron had done. Every man cast down his rod, and it became a serpent. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. Nevertheless, Pharaoh did not give heed to God's words. He refused to let the people go, for his heart was hardened. Then, by the command of God, plagues were sent to the land of Egypt. The first plague was this: Aaron's rod was stretched out over the water, and suddenly all the rivers of Egypt were turned to blood, so that even the fish in them died. Neither the Egyptians nor their beasts could drink the water in the rivers. The second punishment was a plague of frogs, which Moses brought forth from the water, and which entered into and overran the homes, chambers, beds, vessels, tables, and food of all the people of Egypt, beginning with the king's palace, even unto the dwelling of the least inhabitant. And their land was covered with frogs, so that when at the command of Moses they died, and the Egyptians gathered them together in great heaps, the whole of the land of Egypt stank from the dead and rotting frogs. The third plague was the lice, which spread out over all the land, over men and over beasts, on Pharaoh and on his house and on his servants, throughout all the land of Egypt. All the dust of the land became lice. The fourth plague was a swarm of flies. The fifth, a great mortality that came upon the beasts of the land of Egypt. The sixth plague was of boils exuding pus, afflicting both man and beast. The seventh plague was a fiery hail, which fell with lightning and fearful thunder, beating down the fields, trees, and grass over all the land of Egypt. The eighth plague was of locusts and caterpillars, which consumed all the fruit in the land of Egypt. The ninth plague was of a darkness over all the land of Egypt. The tenth and final plague was the death of the firstborn of Egypt, and these plagues were sent by God through Moses and Aaron. And not one of the punishments harmed the Hebrews. They touched only the Egyptians, for Pharaoh did not wish to let the people of God go. Fearing the punishments, he promised many times to release them, but when the plagues abated, at once his heart was hardened, and he did not let them go until the tenth plague. Prior to this tenth plague, obedient to the counsel of Moses, the Hebrew people borrowed vessels of gold and silver and garments of great value from Egyptian neighbors, as much as they could take with them. And Moses ordained the Pascha for the people, instructing them how they were to consume the lamb, the blood of which they were to daub upon their doorposts. On that night the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh, who sat on his throne, of the firstborn of the captive in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of beasts. But the Hebrews were preserved unharmed. And Pharaoh arose in the night, he and all his servants, and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in all the land of Egypt, for there was not a house that death did not strike. Pharaoh then called for Moses and Aaron by night, and he said, "Rise up and depart from among my people, both ye and the Israelites. Go pray to the Lord your God, as ye have said, and take your flocks and your herds, and be gone." The Egyptians urged the people of Israel to leave in haste, for they feared that they would all die because of them. And the Israelites took their dough before it was leavened, and they prepared no food for themselves, as they were thrust out by the Egyptians, for they could not tarry, as the Egyptians prayed and implored them to leave quickly. They departed with silver and gold and much wealth, and many proselytes went with them, together with flocks, herds, and a great many cattle. The men numbered 600,000, not counting the women, children, and proselytes who went with them. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for when Joseph was dying in Egypt, by the spirit of prophecy he foresaw the future, and told the children of Israel, "God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones away hence with you." As they departed from the land of Egypt, God was with them, going before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light. He did not take away from before all the people the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night. When Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, was told that the people of Israel had fled, his heart and the hearts of his servants were turned against the Hebrew people. And they said, "Why have we let the sons of Israel go from serving us?" And Pharaoh made ready his chariot, and took all his men with him, along with 600 chosen chariots, and all the cavalry of the Egyptians, and captains over every one of them. They pursued the children of Israel, and overtook them as the Israelites were encamped by the sea. But the Egyptians were unable to attack them, for the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, now removed to its rear. And the pillar of cloud came between the camp of the Israelites and that of the Egyptians, so that there was darkness. When night came, Moses stretched out his hand over the waters, and the Lord made the sea to go back with a strong east wind all that night, causing the sea to become dry land and dividing the waters. The children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on dry land, and the waters formed a wall on their right hand and a wall on their left. And the Egyptians and all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen pursued them along the path that had been formed in the midst of the waters. Meanwhile, Moses led the people out on the other side, and standing on the shore, he stretched out his rod over the water, and the sea returned to its place. The Egyptians fled before the water, but the Lord overthrew them in the midst of the sea when the waters returned, covering the chariots and the horsemen and all the hosts of Pharaoh. The children of Israel, however, walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the Lord saved them that day from the hand of the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed in him and his servant Moses. Then Moses, together with all the children of Israel, rejoicing and exulting in the triumph over the Egyptians, accomplished by God with his mighty arm, cried out to the Lord, "Let us sing to the Lord, for gloriously is he glorified. Horse and rider hath he hurled into the sea." So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea and led them out into the wilderness of Shur, where they spent 3 days in the wilderness, but found no water to drink. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters thereof, as they were bitter. Then the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" Moses cried to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. And when he had cast it into the waters became sweet, and they all drank. And Moses led the Israelite people through the wilderness for 40 years, interceding for them before God for all their needs. When they murmured for food, remembering the flesh pots of Egypt, he prayed to God, and it rained manna on them, and quail were also sent in such numbers that their hunger was satisfied. When they murmured for drink, he brought forth water for them by striking a rock. When Amalek made war against the Israelites, Moses asked God for victory, stretching out his arms in prayer, and Israel prevailed, conquering Amalek with his sword. And as many times as they angered God in the wilderness, Moses made supplication on their behalf. God said that he would surely have destroyed them had not Moses, his chosen one, stood before him with a broken heart and turned away his wrath. Moses also gave them the law written upon tablets of stone, which he had received from God on the mountain. When he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, the Lord spoke to him face to face, as a man speaks to his friend. And he made the ark of the testimony with its veil of blue, purple, scarlet, and fine twisted linen, and the ark of the covenant overlaid with gold, in which was placed the golden jar containing manna, the rod of Aaron, which had blossomed, and the tablets of the law. Over the ark were two cherubim of gold, as well as all things necessary for the preparation of sacrifices and whole burnt offerings. He ordained for them priests and Levites and taught them the order of sacrifice. He also established feasts and new moons and taught them the judgments and statutes of the Lord. Having set forth the order of spiritual things, Moses attended to matters temporal, and he chose mighty and wise men, making them rulers of thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens, that they might judge the people in all seasons. Thus it became necessary to bring only the most difficult matters to him. This he did on the advice of Jethro, his father-in-law, who together with Zipporah, his wife, his flocks, and his two sons came to him in the land of Midian in the wilderness. Having heard all that God had done for him, Moses received Jethro warmly and offered him hospitality, and then he let him depart in peace to his own land. Many were the signs and wonders accomplished by the servant of God, Moses, and many the laws and counsels delivered by him to the people of Israel. There are recorded in his books the books of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. In these books, his life and the labors he undertook in guiding and directing the sons of Israel are described in detail, as also the manner of his death, which the Lord showed him in advance, saying, "Go up to Mount Abraham, which is in the land of Moab, opposite Jericho, and behold the land of Canaan, which I will give to the children of Israel, and die there. Before his repose, Moses blessed the sons of Israel. He blessed each tribe separately, prophesying over them. Then he went up to the mountain he had been commanded to ascend. There the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead, as far as Dan, and all the land of Naphtali, Ephraim, Manasseh, and the land of Judah, to the furthest sea and the wilderness and the country round about Jericho, the city of palm trees, as far as Segor. And the Lord said to Moses, This is the land which I swear unto Abraham, and unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. I have shown it to thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over thither. So Moses the servant of the Lord God died in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. He was buried near the house of Phagor, although no one has seen his sepulchre to this day. And Moses was 120 years old when he died, and his eyes were not dimmed, nor was his natural force abated. The children of Israel wept for Moses in Araboth of Moab, by the Jordan near Jericho, for 30 days. Then the days of weeping for Moses were ended, for 30 days were ended. By his prayers may the Lord deliver us from every misfortune, and bring us forth from the Egypt of this world, so full of sufferings, settling us in the eternal dwelling places. Amen. On the same day, we commemorate the holy martyrs, Theodore, Leonis, Julian, and Cleon, and another Babylas, Bishop of Antioch, and with him 84 children, both youths and maidens, and Saint Hermione, one of the four daughters of the Apostle Philip. Amen.